Well, please turn in your Bibles at this time with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. You'll find that on page 1166 in your pew Bibles. So we're working our way through Paul's letter to the Colossians. And today we come to the very heart of the letter. So far, Paul has introduced himself and his major themes. He's presented the person and the work of Christ in the highest possible of terms. He has presented the gospel and the importance of the gospel and working hard for the gospel. But now in these verses, he turns his attention to the central theme of the whole letter, which is living in Christ, or as we've called it for this message series, living the Christ-centered life. He's presented who Christ is in all his glory. He's shown how worthy Jesus Christ is of our lives, and now he's going to talk to us about living in Christ. So Colossians 2, verses 6 through 10, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear God, speak to us now through this word that you've given us, this word given to us through your Holy Spirit. Speak to us about what it means to live in Christ, and help us to do the same. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What's the secret to living the Christian life? You know, we all start off so well. We receive Christ as our Savior, and we are filled with excitement at this prospect of new life in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been restored to relationship with God. We have assurance that we'll go to be with God in heaven when we die. And we know that our whole life just changed. And so we start off enthusiastic for Christ. We're ready to take on the whole world. And then some of us seem to keep that spark, while others of us seem to struggle and to flounder. And we wonder, why is that? We want to live the Christian life. Why is it so hard sometimes? What is the secret to living the Christian life? And that's what our passage this morning is all about, living the Christian life. And there's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along for the scriptures there or to take notes. But here we learn from this passage that the Christian life is marked by three things. It is marked by faith in Christ, it is marked by freedom in Christ, and it is marked by fullness in Christ. We received Christ Jesus by faith. Now we should continue to live him in by faith. We found freedom in Christ when we came to Christ. Now we need to be careful that we don't let anyone take us captive through false teaching. And then we also received fullness in Christ. And it's actually going to take Paul the whole rest of the letter to explain that to us, what it means to have received this fullness in Jesus Christ. So what's the secret to living the Christian life? Let's find out. It's all right here in these verses before us. First of all, the Christian life is marked by faith in Christ. Look at me now with verses 6 and 7. These are the memory verses that we worked on for today. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What Paul is saying here in this verse is simply this: your Christian life began with faith in Christ, and therefore it must also continue with faith in Christ. By faith you received Jesus Christ as Lord. When you came to Christ, you recognized that Christ is Lord, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and you put your faith in him as your Lord and Savior. The earliest Christian confession is simply, Jesus Christ is Lord. Every time we have a baptism here at our church, what do? We confess Jesus is Lord. Anytime we receive new members into our church, what do? We confess together Jesus is Lord. By faith, Paul says, you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, Paul says, you need to live in Christ the same way that you received him. The Christian life begins with faith in Christ. The Christian life continues with faith in Christ. And the Christian life is not simply faith in a set of teachings, but it is faith in a person, faith in the person of Christ. It is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the Christian life is lived in Christ. Jesus Christ lives in you, and therefore now you live your life in him. And just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, you continue to live in him. Part of confessing Jesus as Lord means that everything we do revolves around him as Lord. Christ is central, and we must live the Christian life by faith in him. And now the next three phrases in these verses, they tell us more about what does it mean to live by faith in Christ. And first of all, it means that you are rooted and built up in him. Now, rooted, that refers to the foundation of your Christian life. The Christian life is founded on Christ and Christ alone. It's not founded on your goodness. It's not founded on your works. It's not founded on your merit. But the Christian life is founded on faith in Christ and Christ alone. Now, that word rooted also brings to mind the image of a plant. It's supposed to. Because Christ is more than just the foundation of your faith. Yes, you're rooted in him. He is the foundation. But he's also the root and the source of your Christian life. Jesus said something very similar in John 15. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And so Jesus is the root. He is the source of the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life apart from Christ. And if rooted refers to the foundation, then built up refers to your continued growth in the Christian life. Just as you began your Christian life with faith in Christ, you continue your Christian life with faith in Christ. You can't start the Christian life without him, and you can't grow as a Christian without him. You are rooted in him, and you are built up in him. Once again, it's all in him, in Christ. Christ is central. Next, you were strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And that word strengthened, it's a word that means to be established or made firm. And so not only must you have faith in Christ, you must also be well-grounded in your faith. And the faith here refers to the teachings of the Christian faith. The gospel of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the truth about Christ is found in the scriptures. And Paul is telling the Colossians, and he's telling us, he's saying, don't be fooled by the false teachers or by false teaching. He's saying, stick with the gospel. Stay grounded in Christ and in the word of God. Don't go looking for new teachings outside of Christ. Rather, grow in what you already know. I like that. Grow in what you know. Paul said something very similar in Acts 20. When he told his friends, he said, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. He was committing them to God and to God's word, which can do what? Which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. To receive Christ is to believe in him and to believe what God's word says about him, to be strengthened in your faith as you were taught. Living by faith in Christ means being rooted, built up in him, being strengthened in the faith as you were taught. But thirdly, it also means overflowing with thankfulness. And we're beginning to see that this whole idea of being thankful and thanking God, this is a very recurring theme in this whole book of Colossians. It's the third time that Paul's brought it up in the letter already. He's going to bring it up three more times, six times in all. But a life that is lived by faith in Christ is a life that is overflowing with thankfulness. So let me encourage you, don't leave thanksgiving out of your prayers. You know, when you pray to God, spend time praising him, spend time confessing your sin, spend time thanking him. Begin each day thanking God for your life and for your salvation and for the blessings that God has given you in Christ. And don't just be a little thankful, but be overflowing with thankfulness, because you can never thank God enough for all that he has done for you. So the Christian life is marked by faith in Christ. That's our first point this morning. Secondly, the Christian life is marked by freedom in Christ. Look at verse 8 now with me, where Paul writes this. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ." Now, when Paul says "see to it," he uses a word that really means, he says, beware, watch out. And the word that's translated by this phrase, "takes you captive," that's a word that was used of someone who was kidnapped or someone who was carried away as a slave. In other words, Paul is giving us a very strong warning here, telling you to guard your freedom, to stay alert, to be on the lookout for anything that could rob you of your freedom and take you captive. Now, we're talking about false teachers here, of course, and today we think about cults. Did you know that most cults today prefer to recruit from churches rather than from the unchurched? They look for people who are already in churches, who have a spiritual interest, but who are not strong in their faith. And so you'd think once they find out you're a Christian, they just leave you alone, right? But you're actually their prime target. Now, of course, the best antidote to all of this is what we were just talking about, living in Christ with faith. As long as you're rooted and built up in Christ, if you are strengthened in the faith as you are taught, overflowing with thankfulness, you are not going to fall prey to a cult. It's not going to happen as long as you are grounded in Christ. So what are some of the things that we need to watch out for as Christians that can rob us of our freedom in Christ? First off, Paul says, watch out for hollow and deceptive philosophy. Now, Paul's not talking about philosophy the way we think about it. We hear philosophy and we think about philosophy books, we think about philosophy degrees, but Paul is using a much broader term here. It wasn't used the same way in those days. He's talking about it not as an academic discipline or study, but more as just the way that you think about the world, really any system of thought, your world view, how you make sense of the world around you. And note that there's nothing wrong with philosophy in and of itself. Some people misinterpret this verse. They say, oh dear, I better quit my philosophy major. No, we need philosophy majors. That's important. Paul doesn't say watch out for philosophy. He says watch out for hollow and deceptive philosophy. That word hollow is a word that means empty, that which is void of truth and value. And then Paul says this philosophy that he's thinking about, this way of thinking, is deceptive. It sounds good at first, but really it appeals to our sinful nature rather than exalting Christ. Paul is warning against false teachers and false teaching here. It's the same warning he issued back in Acts 20, verse 29, when he said, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. They will not spare the flock. And whether Paul's using an analogy of wolves or of kidnapping, what's he saying is that false teaching can do real violence to the body of Christ. That false teaching can take you captive, and it can rob you of your freedom in Christ. You know, Paul told the Colossians back in chapter 1, verse 13, that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And so the thought here is Paul saying, hey, you've already been rescued. God already rescued you. Why do you want to be captured again? Why would you let that happen? You want to keep your freedom in Christ? Watch out for hollow and deceptive philosophy. Then he defines that further as far as not looking to human tradition or the basic principles of this world. Paul says this hollow and deceptive philosophy depends on that. It depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Now, human tradition simply refers to man-made teachings rather than the God-given revelation that we have in the Word of God. Jesus spoke about the problem of choosing human tradition over the Word of God. He told the Pharisees in Mark 7, verse 8, he said, you have let go of the commands of God, and you are holding on to the traditions of men. The problem here is you can't get to God if you start with man. If you want to get to God, you need to go through God's word. You need to know God's word to know the truth that sets you free, that gives you freedom. And then this phrase, the basic principles of this world, it's a difficult phrase to interpret. Some people think it refers back to the spiritual powers and authorities that Paul mentioned back in chapter 1, verse 18. But I think here in this context, it really refers to the basic ways of human thinking apart from God. It's how you view the world. If you don't think about God, if you remove Christ from the center, it's the way of thinking about the world without putting God first. Paul uses the exact same phrase also in a context of freedom and slavery in the book of Galatians, Galatians 4:3. He says, when we were children, and when he uses that phrase, he means before we came to Christ. So when we were children, before we came to Christ, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. So Paul says, watch out for this hollow and deceptive way of thinking, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And that brings us to our third point about freedom this morning, which is that true freedom is found where? It is found in Christ and in Christ alone. You know, too many people think that the Christian life is just all about rules and regulations and what you do and what you don't do. When in reality, the Christian life is really a life of beautiful freedom that we have in Christ. In Christ, you are free from condemnation. In Christ, you are free from guilt. In Christ, you are free from fear. In Christ, you are free from sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Christ can free you from those sinful patterns and habits that have been tearing your life apart. But when you look to anyone or anything other than Christ for your freedom, you are going to end up in slavery again. And that's why Paul issues this warning. He says, watch out, be alert, don't let anyone take you captive. We read a similar warning in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I love this verse. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Watch out. Don't let anyone take you captive through false teaching. We're going to be talking more about guarding your freedom in a couple weeks when we get to the end of chapter 2 in Colossians. That's where Paul begins talking about legalism and the problem of legalism in the church and how we can fight against legalism in our hearts and lives. But for right now, just heed Paul's warning. Guard your freedom in Christ. Don't let anyone take you captive. Christian life is marked by faith in Christ. The Christian life is marked by freedom in Christ. And finally, number three, the Christian life is marked by fullness in Christ. For this, look with me at verses 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. This is a remarkable statement. First of all, Paul says that all the fullness of God lives in Christ. All the fullness of God, not just God's attributes, but his very essence, not just part of God, but all of him, all that marks God as God dwells in Christ. This is a very similar verse to what we saw back in Colossians 1:19, which said God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ. But now Paul comes out even stronger because he talks about all of God's fullness dwelling in Christ in bodily form. Now remember what we've said about the false teachers at Colossians. They were teaching something called dualism, that things that were spiritual and heavenly were good, things that were earthly or material and physical were bad, that they were evil. It was a false teaching. And what a response that Paul has to them. You know, he says, all the fullness of God dwells in Christ bodily, in bodily form, in Christ's body. All of the fullness of God dwells. Jesus was already fully God, but through the incarnation, Jesus became fully God and fully man. And he remains fully God and fully man forever. Because Paul says, all of God's fullness dwells in Christ's body even now. See, the incarnation was not a temporary thing for Christ, but permanent. All the fullness of God lives in Christ. Not only that, Christ is also the head over every power and authority. Now, this certainly includes the earthly powers and authorities. That's something good to keep in mind during an election year when many of us are pulling out our hair over an election this year, going, how could things be any worse? But you know what? It's okay because Christ is the head over every power and authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so all power, all authority is subject to Christ. But here in this verse, I think Paul is probably thinking about the spiritual beings. Remember, we looked at the spiritual beings in Colossians 1:16, where Paul even named them. He called them the thrones, the powers, the rulers, and the authorities. So he picks up on that language here, the powers and authorities once again. And what is he saying? All of the powers and authorities were created by Christ, and therefore all of these powers and authorities are subject to Christ. Earlier in Colossians, we saw that Christ is the head of the body, his church. Now we see that he is head over all of the spiritual beings as well. And that means simply this, that when you live in Christ, you do not need to fear anything. Because all the fullness of God lives in Christ, and Christ is the head over every power and authority. And then there's one final part to this remarkable statement. And Paul says, You, put your name in here. You have been given fullness in Christ. All the fullness of God lives in Christ. Christ lives in you, and therefore you have been given fullness in Christ. And we've seen this theme of fullness over and over again in the book of Colossians already. Let me just review some of them for you. Colossians 1:9, where Paul said, I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Colossians 1:19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Colossians 1:24, where Paul says, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Colossians 1:25, to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, that you may have the full riches of complete understanding. And now, where we are now, verses 9 and 10, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. There are other scriptures that also talk about the fullness that we have in Jesus. We read from John 1:16 earlier in the service. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. This is part of the fullness that God gives you in Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, a full and overflowing and abundant life in Christ. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That only happens when the fullness of Christ is in your life. So Paul's point in Colossians is this. He's saying, why give in to empty and hollow philosophy? Why give in to the empty teachings of the false teachers when you've been given fullness of life in Jesus Christ? And he says, you've already been filled. You have Christ, what more are you looking for? I like the way Max Anders puts it. He says, don't go looking for treasure that you already have. Everything that you need from God, you already have in Jesus Christ. So what is the secret to living the Christian life? It begins by understanding that Christianity is not simply living out a creed, but it is living in a person. You are united with Christ by faith, and you receive the strength to live the Christian life every day through your relationship with him. Your Christian life begins with Christ, and it must continue with Christ. So let me ask you this morning, does your life sometimes feel hollow? Empty or unfulfilled? If so, it's because you are being deceived. That's what Colossians teaches us this morning. You're being deceived and you're buying into a hollow, an empty way of looking at this world that depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. If you are feeling hollow and empty and unfulfilled, it's because you are living your life according to something other than Christ. You see, the Christian life is marked by faith in Christ, freedom in Christ, fullness in Christ. And anything less than that is not authentic Christianity. What is the secret to living the Christian life? It's actually quite simple. The secret to living the Christian life is living in Christ. That's the heart of Christianity. That's the heart of this letter to the Colossians. That's the heart of our message today. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. And Lord, I thank you that you didn't just save us and then leave us alone to try to live out this Christian life on our own. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We need you and we need Christ each and every day. I thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Freedom to live a life of holiness and godliness that is pleasing to you. I thank you for the fullness that we have in Christ. Oh Lord, this world is empty, pale, and poor. But oh God, you are rich and you give us your riches in Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who does not know you as their Savior, that today might be the day that they would pray that simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I need forgiveness, and I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins to give me freedom, to give me fullness, to give me life. I put my faith in you. I receive Jesus Christ as Lord by faith. Now, Lord, help me to live in you every day of my life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.